of long-suffering. Let's go to Galatians 5 and read this passage again and review these fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I've told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach the word. And Lord, as often is the case, I preach at my own self, preach at my own life, and these folks just listen in. And I pray that you would teach us this lesson well, because all of us take a long time to learn. And I pray that we would grow in this area of patience, and your Spirit would bear his fruit in our life, and it would be evident to all. And I thank you for your work in our hearts. Thank you for your patience with us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to give some definitions of patience. I'll give you some to write down in just a minute. But I want to give some real brief definitions. First, of long-suffering, but literally it means long-spirited, the word translated long-suffering, long-spirited. You've heard of people with a short fuse. It's not that. The person with a short fuse is the opposite of a person who can suffer long. Forbearing, which means practically to put up with. If you are a forbearing person, then you also are a long-suffering person. To patiently endure, to have long patience. Those are definitions of the Greek word. Also, the word for patience, which means endurance or patient continuing, waiting. But the interesting thing about the Greek word for patience or endurance, it's the root word is the same word for cheerful and hopeful. The patience is born out of a positive, hopeful spirit of to say, we're going to make it. It's all going to work out. That's the patient spirit. That's the enduring spirit. We'll just say that if you're like Eeyore in your spirit, okay, here we go, I knew it, you're not going to endure. You're going to say, I told you so. See how the bad things come about? Well, if you've noticed, folks, one thing that I've learned in my few years, that often when God intends good to come, there's some rough waters in between. And you see the word patience, and I'm skipping ahead a little bit here, but you notice the word joy in the scriptures as well. Most of the time, it's in the context of hardship. Why would we need to call it endurance if we're running a marathon, if we can ride a scooter 26 miles? No, it's not about taking the easy road. It's about going through the hardship of the 26 miles of feet on the pavement. And as I've never run 26 miles all at once, but they say that about 20 miles in, you hit the wall. And the Boston Marathon is famous for a steep incline about that point in the race. Why is the Boston Marathon one of the most famous races in all the world? Because it's so difficult, and those that overcome say, I finished. Did I get first or did I get 1,000th? It doesn't matter. I finished. I endured. And that's the idea of long suffering. Notice the word suffering. And also notice the word long. That's the idea. So I want to give you some definitions that you write down. The big picture definition, and of course there's two levels to it here, our relationship with God and our relationship with others. First of all, patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to do something about it. Let me say it again. Patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to do something about it. How often have we done this? And I say we. How often have we endured and we say, Lord, it's been a whole 5 minutes. It's been a whole 5 days or whatever the case might be. Lord, I don't think I can take this anymore. Lord, you're not being very nice. You are neglecting me. You are not fulfilling your promise to me. I think probably the best verse to summarize God's relation to our long suffering is the verse that we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. By the way, you made Fritz's day by doing that. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. You know, God hasn't judged evil yet, at least in a wholesale form. Or God hasn't delivered us from this trial. The Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, concerning his promise. But what's the next phrase? Instead, we need to look at it this way. He is long-suffering. Long-suffering to who? Toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every day that God withholds the judgment that sinners deserve, he is showing not only his love for them, but his love for all mankind, including us. How long has God put up with us? And if we realize how long-suffering God is, we can praise him for his mercy rather than being impatient with his delay. A more practical definition is maybe seem redundant, and I see the misspelling there, but being confronted with a frustrating situation without becoming frustrated. How many of us have had to learn this lesson again and again? A frustrating situation without becoming frustrated. There's a big difference between what is happening to us and how we respond to it. We might be treated unjustly, but that does not mean that we need to lash out and get bitter. And again, we have our example in none other than Jesus Christ, who handled every situation with grace and truth, and who bore long with his disciples and with other sinners. And even on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We mentioned that last week. You could give a summary definition as well. Being willing to wait on God. Being willing to wait on God. Waiting on God. There's some passages that we find people saying, Lord, how long? Lord, how long is this going to last? Even in Revelation, there's the saints who have been martyred to say, Lord, how long will you not avenge our blood and the blood of those who have been martyred? Others have been martyred. And you read the book of Revelation, you say, you know, that's a good question. Why is God so negligent? Why does God take so long? Well, you read the rest of the book of Revelation, God takes care of it very thoroughly. But it's God's time. It's God's time. And the verse before 2 Peter 3:9 talks about how a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. We wait out in our time frame and we say, Lord, this is taking way too long. God says, how long's it been? Not very long. Endure, endure. And the other thing about those that overcome, those that endure, will be rewarded to the extent that there's no more remembrance of the suffering. And Jesus used the illustration a number of times about a mother who's in pain and in birth, giving birth. And a mother, once she meets that child and they unite, that mother isn't complaining about pain anymore, even though the pain's still there. But the joy of bringing that child into the world overwhelms the pain so much that all you can see is the joy. And heaven will be like that for us. When we see Jesus Christ, as the song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. I also want to be even more practical and give a parent's definition. How many of you parents have lost your patience with your children? Okay, put your hands down. Parent's definition, two words, gentle firmness. Gentle firmness. The Bible tells fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not discourage them. The problem is, instead of being firm, which could also be said consistent, you make rules in your house for good reason, and you carry them out. But oftentimes we get moody as parents. We get lazy with the rules, and we don't enforce them when we've got other things to do. But then when we lose our patience, we get angry, and then suddenly the hammer comes down, and the children will say, where did that come from? Or, related to that, we'll say, well, you better do this, you better do this, and we do it. We let the child go on and on and on and on and on, and then we lose our fuse, and the child is disciplined in our wrath instead of our gentle firmness. The patience must be present all the time. Yes, children need to be disciplined, but if it's not done in love and in long-suffering, then it's seen as harshness, and they get a harsh view of God rather than a loving and firm view of their Heavenly Father. Parents' definition, gentle firmness. Much could be said about that, being that I'm a father right in the middle of that part of the journey, but I will say it doesn't just apply to parents. It also applies to other relationships as well, and I'll mention spouses in just a minute. So we go from the definitions of patience, and there are many, I gave you several. But I want to give you some reasons to have patience with others. There's a little song that goes like this. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times when others have to wait for you. It's a good little song. And it reminds us that for every time that we have to forbear with someone, that someone and many someones have had to do the same for us. I find this related to the golden rule. Do you appreciate when someone is patient with you? If you're fumbling about and not really getting it and having a hard time, do you appreciate when someone is gentle and patient and kind with you, even as adults? And yes, I'm talking as an adult. And does it sting a little bit when the receptionist kind of scowls, or when the person on the other end of the phone gets irritated, or when the boss starts scolding instead of instructing? So we as adults, we appreciate patience, and we need to remember how often we would like to have it and how much it stings when we don't receive it. And we need to remember, here's the statement I want to make here in the outline. All of us require repetition before we learn something well. All of us, let me say that part again, all of us require repetition before we learn something well. The story is told about Susanna Wesley, mother of Charles and John Wesley. Her husband commented to her, he said, "I marvel at your patience. You have told that child the same thing 20 times. And her response was this: "Had I spoken the matter only 19 times and then quit, I would have lost all my labor." What a perspective. A good supervisor, a good trainer is going to realize that they're not going to get it the first time, especially with children. But let's face it, adults, we're the same way. That if we get shown once and expected to have it down, we're set up for failure. Even simple tasks for children, wiping off a table, if you don't show them how to do it, and then let them do it, and rather than scolding, "Oh, what are you, come on!" No, it's, okay, let's, good, that's good, good try. Let's try it again. Okay, very good. All right, tomorrow, we're going to do it again. All of us require repetition. And I'll tell you what, impatience squelches any teachableness in a child and an adult. Husbands, how many times have we come home and said, "You know what, I realized something today. You know, I," and we tell our wife what we finally figured out, and our wife says, "I've been telling you that for years." How many of us, well, I don't want to have my own, the only one having my hand up. Wives, be patient with your husbands. Someday they'll get it. Husbands, be patient with your wives. Someday they'll get it. Without the long suffering, without the forbearance, there will be no harmony and learning. Wives and husbands need to be patient with each other. I want to show you something that just struck me just a few weeks ago. For those of you who were at the Sunday night service on the 13th of August, I know because it was at our home, but something just struck me that I wanted to share again, and as I shared with others at the service that day. I want you to turn to John 14. If you are slow in catching on to important things, then you're not necessarily in bad company. If we think of our faith as well, how many times did God convict you of sin before you finally believed in His Son for salvation? How many times did you hear the gospel before you understood it and finally stepped out in faith and trusted Jesus Christ? Or as Christians, how many times did God convict you, or did someone say, "You know, He really should work on this in your life"? And years later, and I'm speaking of my own testimony here, years later, you finally come around and the light bulb comes on and you finally say, "Oh, wow, I need to change. My poor wife." Those years in between where I was stubbornly not listening and God was patiently working. And then finally, I begin to grow. Well, we're not the only ones that are this way and were this way. John 14, verse 26. I want to just make a note here. Referring to the Holy Spirit, John 14, 26, Jesus said to His disciples, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you." Did the apostles, when they heard Jesus' words, John 14, 15, 16, and then he that wonderful example of prayer in John 17, when He was teaching them, I mean, as they would travel together, as they would go alone together, He would teach them. I think we have a pretty good sampling of what Jesus taught them in John 14, 15, and 16. He taught them over and over. One occasion, when the disciples were displaying selfishness and impatience, he said, "How long will I be with you?" You know, you can just see Jesus putting his hand and just shaking his head. Oh, how long? How many times has God said that about you, about me? Oh, how long before they get it? But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said later, by the way, it's better that I leave and the Holy Spirit comes, because when he comes, you'll get it. When he comes, all these things that I've said to you for 3 years will finally come to the clear. Oh, I understand. So if the apostles, under the teaching of none other than Jesus Christ, took 3+ years to get it, how patient should we be with each other for us when we struggle to get it? And I'm talking about mature Christians here. I'm talking about men that should know better. I'm talking about us as well. And as we said already, letter B, God is long-suffering toward us. God is long-suffering toward us. Is it negligence when God suffers long? No, it's mercy. It's mercy. Reasons to have patience with others. And then there's also a requirement of patience. By the way, in God's school, in our lives, as he trains us into godliness and he sanctifies us, long-suffering, endurance, trials, hardships, they are not elective courses. They're not on a list of things, well, I want God to train me in that. That sounds like a good time. No, this is core curriculum. This is required studies, not electives. Requirement of patience. Patience is essential for the Christian life. Patience is essential for the Christian life. Let's turn together to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. We find this word forbearing here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Essential for the Christian life. Basic. Basic stuff. It's like flour to the bread. With no flour, you have no bread. With no patience, you have no maturity. You have no spiritual lessons learned. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, "Strengthened with all might," well, back up to verse 10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." Sound familiar? That's what it said in Ephesians as well. "Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Can you see a theme there? Colossians 3 and verse 12, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Secondly, it's not only essential for the Christian life, as in just your basic Christian behavior, but also for, it's essential for effective ministry. If you're going to be a good reflection of Christ upon others and be a good influence on them to be more Christ-like, you must pass this course in patience. Essential for effective Christian ministry. Back to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Paul is defending his apostleship, and he says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. So the context of these signs of an apostle is in patient endurance of the, in this case, the Corinthians' foolishness and backbiting. He says, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds, but the context is the patience that we're talking about. Romans 2 and verse 4, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, how the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And in that context, Romans 2 verse 4, he says, are you going to despise the long-suffering of God? Romans 2 verse 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So God, in his ministry in our own lives, is full of long-suffering and patience toward us. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. It's another example of ministry and endurance. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So in order to be a proper influence and to help others see Christ, we must have endurance and patience. So, what would prevent patience? What would prevent long-suffering in our lives? Negative implications of impatience. First of all, impatience is rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride. Impatience with someone else, or really impatience with God as well, says, Lord, my way is more important than yours. My time is more important than yours. My convenience is more important than yours. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 says this, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The contrast there, patient or proud? Impatience is rooted in pride. Impatience also shows a lack of love. Notice the first characteristic in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffers long. That's the first indicator of love, that you are patient with another. And then finally, impatience leads to anger and unforgiveness. The context of Matthew 18 is that servant that had just been forgiven an infinite debt, and then he meets a friend of his, a colleague, a peer of his that owed him a small debt, and he says, pay me. And instead of forgiving, he with anger condemned this man. Impatience leads to anger and unforgiveness. But let's set those aside. The Bible is so clear that pride is the opposite of love, and anger is a symptom of pride. Let's look at some blessings that result from patience. I'm going to give you all three blanks because I want to go with you to these scriptures as well. Three blessings that I want to mention. First of all, spiritual maturity, spiritual fruit, and then spiritual dividends. Spiritual maturity, spiritual fruit, and spiritual dividends. In other words, something that you see, what happened when I was patient? God blessed me in this way. Maturity, fruit, and dividends. Let's look at James chapter 1. I'm assuming this is familiar to you. James chapter 1 and notice the theme again of patience. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. Spiritual maturity, it's through those trials that we mature. Spiritual fruit, of course, we list the fruit of the Spirit, but also Luke 8, verse 15 is the, in the context here, it's the parable of the sower and the soils and the fruit that comes when the seed of the Word of God goes in deep into our heart and bears fruit. It's interesting, the context of Luke chapter 8. Verse 15 says, but on that good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Interesting, we find the word again right there in the context of spiritual fruit. Now turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, spiritual dividends. I'm sorry, Romans 5, verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3. Verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Let me explain just a minute what he's talking about. When we see God help us through a difficulty, we see that later on, when that difficulty or another like it comes with all its intensity, we say, I've trusted God and he is faithful. I'm going to trust him even more this time. And we see him faithful again. And then the next time the trial comes, we say, I'm going to trust him because I know. I know who I can trust in. And then we have hope because we see the fruit that comes from the trials. We see the good, Romans 8, 28, that comes from the hardships. And that's the hope, because hope maketh not ashamed. Continuing verse 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We grow, and the love of God blossoms in our spirit and in our souls. Hebrews chapter 6 now, one more example. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Verse 11 says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews mentions Abraham in detail, where Abraham for years and years and years waited for the promise of God. And he sometimes faltered, but overall endured in faith, and God fulfilled the promise and blessed him for all of history. Now more practical, how to learn patience. How to learn patience. First of all, learn from instead of running from your trials. Learn from instead of running from your trials. By faith, realize that the hardships is where we grow. The hardships is where we really learn. If a course in school is not difficult, we take it for granted. We don't learn much from it. But it's those difficult courses where afterward we say, wow, I learned a lot. And I'm better because of it. And the years of hardship in our life are the times where we grow rather than the year that we had very little hardship. I'm not sure if there is such a thing of a year with very little hardship, but you get the point. It's at the times and the seasons in our life that God helps us endure through those hardships. That's when we look back and we say, you know what, I grew. I learned through those times. We're in Hebrews right now. Turn to James chapter 5, which is just the next book of the Bible. Learn from, instead of running from your trials, also learn from biblical examples. James 5, verse 10, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Interesting how he phrased that. You've seen the end of the story with Job, but notice how he endured till the end, because Job didn't know the end of the story while he still trusted God. But we can look at Job and we can look at the faithful prophets and to say, you know what? Look how God defended them. Look at the end of their story. I can trust God through the hardship. That's the purpose of those examples. Letter C, seek to develop the skill of patience. Seek to develop the skill of patience. In other words, if we're going to be long-suffering, guess what? We have to practice at it because it's not easy. We're going to have to learn it by repetition. Does that sound familiar? Even the very endurance, even the very patience has to be learned by repetition, the skill of patience. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Let me find that and read it for you. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. That means like a runner that's pursuing after the goal and the finish line. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Seek to develop the skill of patience. The story is told about a man who was with his young child in the grocery store, and he was overheard saying, easy, Albert. Settle down, Albert. It's going to be okay, Albert. Child's fidgeting around, being a little child. Don't be upset, Albert. And somebody walked up to him and said, well, that's so nice. You're being so gentle with that little boy. And the person said, oh, hello, Albert. No, he said, you don't understand, man. I'm Albert. This is Jack. Settle down, Albert. And finally, yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does help us in our times of need. He reminds us of the things that we ought to remember, but many times we don't listen. Or many times we have a good counselor or a good friend that says, you know what, here's what you need to do. You need to trust God. You need to choose this way. And we say, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. But sometimes the Holy Spirit uses a good counselor. Many times the Holy Spirit uses a scripture brought to mind, brought to your heart, and we need to yield to that as he speaks to us. So my question as we close, are you growing in patience? Are you growing in endurance? Are you more patient? Are you more long-suffering than you were a year ago? In closing, I want to simply read one more wonderful passage of Scripture, and that's Isaiah chapter 40. Would you turn there with me, and I'll simply read it and close in prayer. Isaiah 40, the end of the chapter. We'll start with verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is a commentary on the Christian life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth given to us in your word today. Thank you for the trials. We don't feel like thanking you in the middle of them, but we see what they do in our hearts and lives, and we see what benefit they are. And then we can see that you are doing a good work even when it is hard. Lord, help us to be waiting on you every day of our life, to be obeying faithfully and to trusting you for wisdom and strength to obey. And Lord, as we trust you, I pray that we would grow in our patience and in our forbearance toward one another, toward our spouses, toward our children, toward our co-workers, toward our neighbors, our friends. All of this, Lord, I pray that you would do this work in our lives so that we can better reflect Jesus Christ and his character. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.